kids that remember how to pray.
It's Tuesday night, August 6th, I believe.
Yep. Well, Lord, we are just, I felt today, Lord, and I know this is the heart of all of us that are here, that we just appreciate what you have brought us into, and we want to give honor to you by making your word what it's supposed to be, truth and food for our lives. And we know that gives you glory, Lord, because we know that anything that's come about within us is because of you, not because of us. So we ask you to continue that tonight in this gathering, and that your spirit would be amongst us and on us, and that Jesus, you would be dwelling in our presence and guiding us along, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are making this vigil tonight because of a request by a number of people, and so we're hoping that we got to talk a little louder, sorry. Is that loud enough? And I had a birthday party on this last Sunday, and I wanted to have, that's probably the first one I've ever wanted to have. And one of the reasons is because there are some things that I really want to tell my loved ones. And this last Sunday, I was made aware of who my loved ones are. I have a lot of them. And there's a lot of people who love me, and I love them. And we said, we have a strange, strange setting. This little group of a handful of people, but the church really is not just a handful of people. There's a lot of us. And 50 years ago, about 50 years ago, I lived in Seattle, and I had a dream. And in the dream, an angel appeared. There's a lot of other things, but I'll just get to the specifics. An angel appeared, and he said, "The Lord is coming, the Lord is coming." And I said, "Do we have time to tell our loved ones?" And this last Sunday, I began to realize who the loved ones were. There's a lot of people that we love. And they're not just family, but they're families included. And so, anyway, but what I had to tell people 50 years ago was not anything like what has happened since, and God has opened a door to make me understand what it is that we need to know. We have been under the impression, you know, certain things that we have learned over the years, and that this is it. But you know what? There's an unfolding revelation. And because it is, we keep learning from God what it is that He wants us to know. And so, about 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I was being, I led of the Spirit, I think, I'm sure. And I was feeling that if the Lord came, I was going to go to hell. It was a horrible experience. And so what I did is what I kept praying and agonizing and crying and just asking for mercy. And one morning as I'm praying, I heard a voice. And the voice said, "If you're really serious," and it paused, "if you want to find me," pause, "you have to look for me where I am." And anyway, to make a long story short, and I'll try to do that if I can, I was led to understand that the only way that you could find God is in what He said in His Word, and through Him, and not and through the Holy Spirit, and not necessarily through men. It may be through men, but not necessarily so. And so, I have been listening to the Scripture myself, and so have these other guys that are here with me. And but I have been listening for day and night for about 20 years, and it's hard for people to realize that or even to think in that vein. But I'm doing it because I was told to do it, because that's what it, in order to find the Lord, I had to be listening to Him, and specifically listen to Him. And so Christ was the express image of the invisible God. and God used him to declare himself and reveal himself. And so what I needed to be doing was listening carefully to what he had to say. And anyway, in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, in the 17th verse, it says the word of God, or the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. Well, I have what do we call it?
Flat, I guess.
Sculpture.
That was given to me by Scott and Bonnie Hartley a number of years ago, and I never really realized what it was until tonight. And we were sitting here before this, we started. My daughter, who was from here from Seattle, told me, she said, that has a sword across the top of it. And sure enough, this is, somebody had the realization that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And it says in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so what that word has been working on us and has been doing a miraculous work in this group of people. And so I have felt that if what needs to be shared is the working of the Word of God in our lives and how it operates. And so some years ago, I'm guessing 30 years ago, I don't know, somebody within the church had a vision. And anyway, in the vision, they saw me standing by the back of the church with a sword in my hand, and I was cutting people with it. Well, just a few years, I began to realize that I was working with something that was in my hand, and what it was the Word of God. God had put the Word in my hand 50 years ago when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, and now he is putting the Word in my hand again. And what this was doing, it was hurting people. It was hard. And I have some that are sitting right here right now that said at first, it was like, what are you doing? You know, get off of it. Start talking about something else. But you know what? I wasn't able to, because I had the sword in my hand, and it was burning inside of me, and it was a work of the Spirit, and that's what God was doing. And so anyway, the Word has been changing us from the inside and doing a work that only can be done by the Spirit. And it requires the Word of God in order to do the work in us that has to be done. And so I have been, for the last 15 years, or for the first 15 years after I heard that, I think every message that I ever brought could have been titled, Hear the Word of the Lord. Hear the Word of the Lord. And I didn't even understand myself until lately the significance of why what this all meant. Because as we have been listening to the Word, it has been clearing up, and God has been revealing things to us, different places out of the Word. And this is the answer to Christianity. It's like Jesus was talking about his being the accepted, break his, or eat his flesh and drink his blood, and he was the manna from heaven, and then the sixth chapter of John, he is talking about, you know, these things, and people said, you know what, we can't understand this. And it says many turned away and walked away from him and said, you know, we can't handle this. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter, who was always one to come up with these things, he says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And I want to say that what has happened to me is that I have recognized now that I am in the middle of words of eternal life, and not the words of men, and not with philosophies and traditions and things. Candy or Shelley and I were talking today about the scripture that says, Jesus was talking, he said, because of your traditions, you have made the Word of God of no effect. And I thought, you know what? With the sword in our hand, is what makes a difference. It's like the Word of God is a sword that God wants to put into men's hands, but they insist on doctrines and traditions and things that are not, you know, that's a tendency of men. And so anyway, this Word has become a powerhouse. It is becoming a powerhouse inside of us. And I looked around Sunday morning, and I looked at people that I love them a lot. And I thought, I don't know that there's anybody here that I don't love. And I mean, I did that. I was thinking that there isn't anybody that I didn't love. And I thought, I know that some of them have not picked up the understanding of the power of God's Word yet. And I would give anything somehow to relate it to them, and that's what I wanted to do Sunday morning, but I realized that it was not the time or the place. But eventually, somehow, we want to make let this be an understanding that comes from us. I'm getting I get more to say, but if you guys got to help me out. I put all of you on the spot, but anyway. I'm trying to say too much, too quick. I got it in me, and it's sitting there, but I want to see everybody that I know in heaven. I don't care where they go to church. That's not even an issue. But I want to see them in heaven. And I we're beginning to understand the conditions that make it so. Like having a love for the truth, a vital issue. And not a love for traditions or doctrines, but a love for God's truth. And we're finding out how to what that means. Some time ago, an answer or a interpretation or a revelation of what truth is came to us. It's like truth is what God actually and really meant by what He said, not by interpretation of it. That's what truth is. And so we have to understand that it says in John 17:17, it says Jesus is in prayer and He says, sanctify them or separate them through your truth. Your word is truth. How vital is that then? Is that the truth? It better. I've learned that it is. The Word of God is truth, and it is powerful, and it is quickening, and it is sharp. And it cuts, and it's been cutting on me and cutting on us and down in some deep recesses of our being, and that's what it says it will do. So anyway,
well, I was thinking when you were talking earlier, and I thought, you know, right this evening, I guess my desire would be that somehow, whoever might be listening, watching, whatever, if they haven't completely grasped this, just stop and just try to slow yourself down and block the world out and thoughts and everything, and just say, why wouldn't the Word of God be the most important thing for eternal life? And just try to bring yourself to the place to just be humble and look at it and try listening and whatever for a while and see. And just, you know, because what happened with us is once we could say, I know for me, yeah, well, I was wondering, oh, what is this? You know, here we go. We're on another path of the Bible, you know, the Word. Because so many men have done it, and it never really produced anything, you know. But then it was like Keith wasn't his thing, you know, that he was projecting. It was put on his heart by God. And finally, I just one Sunday or something, I sat there and I went, well, how could it possibly be wrong to hear the Word of God? And then I said, and then there'd been other things mentioned, and I said, Lord, I want to start over. I'm going to act like I'm going to confess. I mean, we have gained some things, you know, with our body and over the years and Christianity and everything. But I said, I want to start over. I want to be taught by you. And so that I'll know what the truth is. And, you know, and I only listened here and there because I was on the road working a lot. But I'd plug it in and 15 minutes maybe. And God would put this little nugget in there. And I know a couple times I'd only listen 10 or 15 minutes and I was weeping. Because I couldn't believe that, because there'd been a dry period before all this. You know, because we went through a big transition and everything, a lot of people know. But I couldn't believe he was so faithful, so quick. And just from, you know, it wasn't like, no, you got to listen for 12 hours a day. No, I just had to listen. Whatever amount of time I would give over to him, and he was faithful. And then it just kind of, then pretty soon, you know, you start having that happen. And then as you're listening, the more you listened, the more you heard him saying, hear me. He confirmed that by starting to listen, that's what he wanted. Mm-hmm. Hear me. Hear my word. Hear my son. Hear my prophets. You know, hear. And so then it just kept developing. And I know it did a change in me because my, fortunately and graciously before my wife passed, she saw it. And it had a huge effect on her because, you know, I know my faults that were there and stuff, and I knew that God had been slowly changing things inside of me where I, you know, he's taken away a lot of selfishness and whatever. But that Word of God, when it convicts, he does it perfectly. You know, it's so much. A man can't, some of the things that I've come and confessed before God, no man would have ever gotten me to do that. But the Word of God did, you know. So I would just say, just somehow just lay pride, whatever, anything. Just lay it and be humble and say, I got to give this a try. It makes sense if you stop and really think about it. And God will honor it. And in that word, he says, I will teach you. That's been one of the greatest revelations. People don't understand that God wants to personally teach each one of us. He doesn't want to really go through a man. I mean, now we share things, but it has to line up with the word. And we trust one another because we know all of us have been listening to the word. And so things come forth, but they have to be confirmed by the scripture. But God says, I will teach you. And it's in John, like 14, 15, 16, Jesus, being the spokesman, says, I am going to send you the one that's going to teach you all truth. And you start seeing those things, and it gets a hold of you. And then, and you just start, oh, you realize you didn't know hardly anything, and scriptures start tying together that never had any kind of being to, you know, that you ever saw together before, and it's here a little, there a little, and it builds, and it all of a sudden there's a little ribbon running through everything, you know, of different types of doctrines and whatever, and the nature of Christ, you know, which I'm not going to touch on right now, but we might. But anyway, so that was just what my feelings were there when I was listening to Keith, and it just takes, try to block out anything you've been taught or told, and just say, the Word of God. He says, this is my Word. It's eternal life. So listen and read, whatever.
Yeah, one of the big reasons that I wanted to have a birthday party, and I did, it's the only one, the first one I ever wanted to have, and was that I wanted to share a scripture, which is Matthew 18:3. And I had it on, it was on, put on the top of my birthday cake, and I don't know how many people saw it. You have pictures of it, I think. And anyway, the scripture says, except or unless, I'm not sure which word it uses, but either one is okay. Except you become converted and become as little children. You don't become little children, become as little children. You shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, the thing about it is, if that is the truth, then we have a lot of people that are failing at what God wants to happen. There's a lot of failure because people are not approaching the Lord as little children or coming with the Abba Father type of relationship. It's almost like people feel themselves are equal to God or on the same level, and we're not. God is in a different dimension. As his thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways, higher than the heavens are above the earth, and so we're not in any way that we can equate, on the same level as God. We're not there. And there's a scripture where the first of all the commandments says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your being, and so forth. And then the book of John starts out by saying that the Word was with God and the Word was God. If that's the case, and the first commandment is that we are to love Him with all of our heart, then what about the Word? Is that to be the same? Aren't we to be, the Word is to be the same as if it was God? And it is. And so, it's like we don't think about those things. It's just we don't realize that this Word is different than all other words. And that this is what I started to see a long time ago. I said, there's not anything like it. No matter where you look, you can't find any book that is like the Bible. And the reason that isn't, or that there aren't any, is because there aren't any. Well, but anyway. Any comments? Didn't mean to put you guys on the spot, but.
Well, I had some things I wanted to share regarding that scripture, Matthew 18:3. Unless ye become converted and be as little children, you won't get into heaven. Mm-hmm. You think about that, and that is so hard. That is such a difficult scripture. I've been at this for 40 years, and you develop some expertise, but at least real familiarity with what's going on. It's not our first rodeo, you become familiar with the ways of the Lord. Well, that scripture suggests that we're supposed to throw all of that overboard.
Yeah.
Not throw it overboard. All it's going to do is be a handicap. It's going to be a hindrance. Instead, we have to approach this thing as brand new, like we've never heard it before, like little children. It really is hard. You kind of want to ask Jesus, how's about 2 out of 3? Trouble is, you go 2 out of 3, and there's some other places that he says the same thing, so that won't do you any good. But, and it seems to be a precondition for heaven.
It appears that way.
Yeah, it's not just the bride or anything like that. It's heaven. I've wondered just in what sense we are to be as little children. And I don't know that I have the... I haven't done it, so... Or to the extent that it's happened, it's incomplete. So I can't give any full report on it, but I believe this. You know, ordinarily we read the Bible, hear the Bible, and do our own kind of evaluation of it. We run it through our own thought processes or whatever. Little children don't do that. Little children, they hear something and they accept it as it is without doing running it through their own filter or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, they accept it as it is. They don't say, well, that doesn't make too much sense. I wonder, you know, or, well, okay, yeah, that's reasonable. You know, they don't do that. They just accept what they are receiving as the truth. And we too, I believe, have to have that mindset. That, okay, this, just as a little children, you tell a little child something. People abuse little children by telling them some story that is obviously untrue, and they accept it as truth, and then they laugh at the kid for having believed this thing that was obviously untrue, you know? But kids have that quality. They have that quality of, you can call it gullibility, you can call it just accepting as true what they hear, and we are to be in that same, you know, we're supposed to be. We're told we're supposed to be foolish. Yeah. Well, that was a hard one too, you know, especially if we've been at this thing for a long time. Yeah. But anyway, that and I think Keith was. He said this is the first birthday party he's ever wanted, and his reason for wanting this birthday party was so that he could get that scripture out there, you know. And it made me stop and spend some time thinking about it, you know. And I realized, oh, it's pretty basic. It's very hard, and it's very basic, but it's there.
So. Well, Hebrews 11:3, it says, through faith, or 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in Romans 14:17, it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and that is by hearing the Word of God. And the thing that we have begun to realize is, it's not just hearing God's Word, but it's hearing the truth of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a difference.
Yes.
And one of the weaknesses of the church, and this is without condemning or criticizing any of the churches, but one of the weaknesses has been the use of the Holy Spirit. God provided him to teach us and lead us into all truth, or to guide us into all truth, it says. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, who is the only one that can do what we need done, which is He compares spiritual things with spiritual things. And the words of the Bible are spirit. And that's what Jesus said. He said, the words I speak, they're spirit. And so the Holy Spirit has the ability to compare the spiritual things that are in there with other spiritual things so that we end up getting the truth. I don't know if that makes any sense. It probably doesn't make sense. It makes maybe some sense to us, but it might not make sense to people hearing me. I don't know. But I was extremely happy on Sunday. And I wasn't at first. I looked at it, I thought, I want to share what has been happening to us, because it has been phenomenal. And God has not taken his hand off from us. and we're sitting here like a like the Israelites sat in the middle of the desert, in a way. At the same time, inside of us, God is doing one of the most profound things that I have ever seen or ever heard of. And we are not the first church, you know, in action. We're not where the first church was, but in a way, what God is doing is greater than anything I've ever seen. And that's why I want my friends to know about it. I want all of those that were there to hear about it, and not just to talk to me, but to talk to others that are involved, like Corky and Susan, and Charlie and Jean, and Ken Betcher, and Candy and Pablo, and just to be able to just to sit down with them and let them share what God is doing in their lives. Because this is not anything that I'm familiar with. I've never ever seen this happen, what's happening right now. It's a blessing, anyway. And these guys are a blessing. And I looked around Sunday at everybody that was there, and I thought, you know, I love these people. And after, as I got the cards and the things that they had put in the cards and so forth, then I realized, you know what? It's not a one-way love. They love me. And it did. This birthday party was more for me than it was for anybody else. And Shelley knows what I'm talking about. I was dumbfounded at the expression of love that came out of the cards that people had. What a blessing. Made an old guy feel like a young guy. And even though I turned 83, my mind is old, only about 50, so. No, it's more like 8.
You're on the right path.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm.
Stay about 8.
I'm getting older and younger at the same time. And I walked around without my walker today for a while in front of Shelley and Doug Potter. I do that every so often. I did everything fine. So anyway. What do you have, Shelley? We can't see that, but you can share it if you feel like it.
Well, she can turn it around.
Yeah,
into herself.
I can do this with Chuck in the background. Yeah, well, thanks for that, Chuck.
Photobomb there. Huh?
Right. No, what I would like to say is after so many years of being saved and loving the Lord and being surrounded with people who love the Lord, I found myself about 20 years ago, Mom and Dad came to my house and let me know that they had found something, and it was that excitement level of someone trying to sell you something. It was that excitement level. They couldn't wait to tell me, and to my surprise, it was as simple as what they had discovered in the Word of God and in listening. And in my initial thought was, boy, this sounds time consuming. Like you've got to spend time, you know, putting it on, and I need to sit. Okay. And I need to listen and listen. And like Ken shared earlier, just putting it on and listening, I found that there was a transformation happening, and that out of their bellies will flow rivers of living water. And I remember reading that and wondering, what does that mean? And how could I produce something like that? And I know that it's talking to us as Christians and who love the Lord. What does that mean? And how could that come out of me? Because certainly at that time, and yet today, I don't know how that could come out of me, because I'm too aware of my failures and my weaknesses. But what I found is, as I was listening and listening and listening and being willing to come as a child, and it's not easy to do, especially when you know as much as I do, and I say that, of course, tongue-in-cheek. But listening and listening and listening, you find that the things I once desired change. I want simplicity. I want truth. I only want the truth coming out of my mouth. I don't want to have my words. I don't want to have my ideas. And I don't want to have my interpretations and all the wonderful things I know. They started becoming like sand and rocks. They weren't a commodity anymore. They meant nothing. But instead, the Word of God became that priceless treasure. Hearing that pearl of great price, now that started making sense. Having the Word and having that embedded in your mind, and that the Word is what would do the cleansing, I started finding myself taking joy and being blessed, like that Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man who, it's Psalm 1:1 and 1:2, who meditates day and night on the Word. Finding that, actually taking effect. And like Ken said, transforming from the inside. It wasn't a conscious effort. It's something that's happening on the inside. And while we're all very human, and still very much so, I think what's apparent is our lack of ability and our lack of trusting on our own reasoning. And just becoming so much more dependent on letting the Word speak to us and let the Word interpret the Word. And that's where that river of living water comes from. And you find that it's not full of knowledge, but it's being full of a living Word. And that's what I see in the body here as well.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. I'm going to shoot a quick thing in here. One of the things that I was pondering, the Spirit being the one to teach, and I kept reading that and reading it, and finally one day I went, that's why you don't have to be consciously making an effort in the natural, because it's done by the Spirit, and it only affects your spirit. I mean, it's so, I went, you know, there's not one bit of man's intelligence that will get him to heaven. Not one ounce of your intelligence will get you to heaven, because that's your natural, and this is all spiritual, being done spiritually. And that's why, you know, and then later it tied into, he says, enter into my rest, which means you stop from your works. What are works? Well, some of the biggest works of church people is trying to study and determine what the Word of God is with their minds.
Yeah.
And after we listened and started having that, you know, areas in John where it's only the Holy Spirit that can teach you. He's the only one. Then you can just rest. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm not putting this out on anybody else, but for me it was, I don't need Bible studies anymore. I don't need sermonettes by people, you know. I just need to hear the Word of God, and or the revelations coming out of those that are hearing the Word of God. And it sets you free. It makes you free. You know? And believe me, I am not, you know, as Shelley said, I'm so far from being perfected. But at the same time, I'm so much closer to God. Even though I'm messing up all the time, you know, I know in my walk somewhere, I'm still closer to God than I've ever been. And because of the Word is just, it begins to show you things that gives you a faith to believe
He will get you there in the end. I mean, that's where the faith comes. And I won't go into all the different scriptures or anything, but I'll just stop there. But so that may really, really hit people hard to say, what do you mean my intelligence can't be a part of it? I mean, I have to learn. No, you don't. The Spirit will teach you. You don't have to think anything, because that's what we use the church in general, but that's what they've done. That's why so many are so far away from what the Word of God is, because it's all interpretations of men, teachings of men. And Paul, it was even happening in his day. There must be 6, 7, 8 places in his writings where that's what he stresses. Don't be listening to these idle babblings and interpretations and doctrines of men. You know, it'll take you away from the true gospel. So anyway, that's enough for me for now.
And I don't think that was off topic at all. As we've talked before, the toughest people to be saved will be those who think they know. And because they think they know, their sin still remains.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't eliminate intellect in your equation, then you go against Scripture, because God says we all have an equal chance. And in the natural, we're not equal.
Right.
But in the Spirit, we are.
Amen.
So you have to eliminate intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to eliminate man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have my 3 or 4 scriptures I often quote, but they're important because you need to repent. First thing Jesus said to do, repent, when he started his ministry. You need to come to God as little children. You have to throw away your intellect, because probably what you know is all wrong anyways. And you have to be willing to admit what you know was not what God gave you, but what man gave you. Someone was telling me once that there's 35,000 different doctrines in the world. So what's the chances that the doctrine that you're following is the right doctrine?
Not too good.
And in fact, it's self-righteous to think that you're following the right doctrine and 34,999 doctrines are wrong. And we know by Scripture, self-righteousness is not where we want to be. So you just have to continue on. Unfolding revelation. That's why we continue to listen to the Word, because it's an unfolding revelation. And if you're not willing to admit that you don't have all revelation, and you're not willing to admit that what you think you know today is about to be enhanced, corrected, revised, or improved by the Holy Spirit, then you're not moving forward in God. You've stopped. And that's not what the Scripture says to do. To your dying breath, you're to seek Him.
Mm-hmm. In Matthew 11, verse 25, I don't have it right here in front of me, but it says, where Jesus is speaking, and he says, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, for it seemed good, such it seemed good in your sight to do that. Well, one of the reasons is because even though God has created us and we might live, 83 years plus, we still only have a certain amount of intelligence and brain cells to work with. We don't have enough to equate with the things of God. We can't know what the Holy Spirit knows. It's not even possible. And so that what God has done is He set it up so that we become as little children. We become little children, but we become as little children in our approach to Him. And when we do, then He could hear us on a level that would, that would cause us to be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
In John 7:37,
It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And the question of what? Drink of what? Let him come unto me and drink. Well, all he's ever done is perform miracles and preach. So what do we drink of? We drink of what he said. It's like it's a living water. It's a drinkable substance. If we're talking about the manna, let us come unto him and eat. However it is. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this word is a living water substance. It's a strange thing, but you speak the word of God and people's lives are changed. You speak the words of men and you got no change. You got a bigger mess than what you started with. So anyway, God's word is what it claims to be. You know, blessed is the man in Psalm 1. Blessed is the person whose delight, his main delight is the word of God. He loves it like he loves God. Blessed is that man. And he meditates on God's word day and night. So that kind of tells us about what God expects or what he thinks about the continuation of hearing, of being in his word. God blesses people that do that. I want to be blessed.
Amen.
And it says he'd be like a tree that's planted by the waters. You know, you guys imagine what the difference in the root system and what is going to be taken in. And his leaf won't wither, and his fruit will be available in season. And whatever he does, he's going to prosper. That's what it says. And so is God going to cause a prosperer to take place? Of course he is. And maybe it might not be physical prospering. It might be spiritual. As a matter of fact, it will be spiritual, even if it's physical. It'll be spiritual, even if it's if we go into a valley for a while. We're still gaining momentum.
Maybe more momentum than climbing a hill.
Yeah.
I was just going over some of them scriptures that I had mentioned in John 14, the first month, and I picked up on something here that Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you
forever."
I was going to just, there's one word left. And I never actually looked at it forever. That's forever. And then, I'm just going to read those. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." And I'm going to point out, in all these cases, it never says, "I'm going to send you a helper through the head man of whatever denomination you're in, or a teacher, a man teacher." It's the Spirit of truth. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Oh, I missed one, yeah, 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things."
Wow.
"And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now, some people might say, well, yeah, he's talking about the disciples because, well, guess what? We found out we didn't know everything.
We found we didn't know very much.
We didn't know very much at all. And what he's been doing is he's bringing to our remembrance the things that he said. Mm-hmm. What he's not just bringing the words on the page, he's bringing the Spirit that's in those words to us, you know, and revealing what he really meant. And boy, I mean, we had no idea what he really meant. You know? And now, it may not take everybody else 20 years to get this. In fact, I know it won't, because God's going to make a, you know, like it says, a quick work, cut it short. And he says those who come in last will receive as much as those who were first. So, you know, it but it's funny. We sit and talk about it a lot. We go, really, we've been listening that long. Why aren't we sick of this? We're not even close to being sick of it.
No, you don't get to never get sick of it.
Mm-hmm. It's becoming a... I mean, it's lifeblood, you know. So anyway, that was just to kind of confirm those areas where he's promising to send the one that's going to help us and bring us into eternal life and bring us truth. So, and that's the other thing I've come to find out. There's only one truth. Mm-hmm. In this world, in this universe.
There's only one.
It's the Word of God. The Word of God.
Sanctify them.
Yeah.
Separate them unto yourself. Through your truth.
Your word is truth.
Your word is truth.
Yeah.
Powerful. Powerful, powerful. Anyway, we love you, whoever is listening to it. We love you very, very, very much. And there's a number of people that can share what has been happening in their lives. And I've mentioned some ones that specifically, but it's like Charlie and Jean Schaefer and Corky and Susan Siebert, Ken Betcher, Candy or Pablo and Candy, Marta Carina. Can't spell that. I won't spell it for you. And my daughter Shelley,
Barb, and
Glenn and
Barb Neubauer.
Who have I missed? Bonnie.
Bonnie and Charlotte.
Charlotte Severson.
Did you have any more to share, Corky?
No. I think we wrapped it up pretty well.
But anyway, I tell you what, we could turn it off.
We still have a little tape going, but
is that machine that's not off?
The little one's going. We can turn that off if you want.
Yeah. I don't know.
Can you let me try?
Yeah. Love you all.